Red is the name of John Logan's Tony Award-winning play about Mark Rothko, the brilliant and tormented abstract expressionist painter who committed suicide in 1970. Red is the dominant color of many of Rothko's most famous works, and it represents the fiery, burning heat of Rothko's passion and torment as he demands that the world see and feel his art. In a new production by Boston Speakeasy Stage Company, actor Thomas Dara plays Mark Rothko with remarkable intensity.
I am here to stop your heart. You understand that? I am here to make you think. I am not here to make pretty pictures.
That's Thomas Dara, who plays Mark Rothko in the Speakeasy Stage Company production of Red by John Logan. And Thomas Dara, welcome to Radio Boston. Great to have you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Also with us is David Gammons, director of this production of Red. Welcome to you, David.
Thanks so much.
And I have to say, this was a sensationally powerful play, so congratulations to both of you.
Thank you very much.
And Thomas Dara, let me start with you. I want to ask you how you managed to really become Mark Rothko, or at least how you managed to become a Mark Rothko-like character. He was famously didactic, argumentative, demanding, almost with a bullying intellect. How did you prepare for this?
A lot of what you're given when you start to build up a character is in the script. You just need to decode it. You need to interpret it. You need to sort of put the pieces of the puzzle together. And he's such a fascinating, fascinating man, and such a tortured, disappointed
Yes.
genius.
You did something so well on the stage where it was the way you would be looking into the audience as if you're looking at one of Rothko's paintings, and your head is to the side, and you've got your hand on the side of your head, and you just really become Rothko, trying so hard to figure out what's going on that canvas.
His world really was those paintings.
Yeah. You know,
I mean, he put everything he had into them, all of his, you know, his soul, his emotion, his history, his anger, his love, everything that he had, he literally put into those pictures. Mm. And he would spend hours and hours and hours and hours studying them before he actually dared to put some paint on the canvas. You know,
right.
it was a tortured experience for him.
Well, that comes through so well. David Gammons, let's just lay out a little bit of the story that this play tells. It follows Rothko through a two-year period when he receives a commission for a series of murals that are going to hang in the Four Seasons restaurant in New York's Seagram building.
That's right.
Lucrative opportunity for Rothko, but a real conflict, right?
Yes, the play sort of tracks the internal conflict that Rothko has to face in thinking about where it is exactly that these paintings are going to hang.
Essentially in front of or behind lots of rich people having expensive dinners in New York. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And one of the things we talked about a lot in the rehearsal process is the way that Rothko, or the character of Rothko in the play, necessarily puts on a kind of set of blinders that allows him to ignore what the reality of that space ultimately will be, that it was going to be a restaurant for very rich people who would not probably give the paintings the kind of attention that he desperately needed them to have.
And that he demanded. The other character in the play is Rothko's assistant, Ken, played by Carl Baker Olson,
yeah,
who does a terrific job, I thought. We have another great clip from this performance. Here you are, Tom, in a scene as Rothko, where Rothko is demanding that Ken, his assistant, look and understand his painting, and he really, really pounds him, almost bullies him. Let's listen.
So now what do you see? Be specific. No, be exact. Be exact, but sensitive. You understand? Be kind. Be a human being. That's all I can say. Be a human being for once in your life. These pictures deserve compassion, and they live or die in the eye of the sensitive viewer. They quicken only if the empathetic viewer will let them. That is what they cry out for. That is why they were created. That is what they deserve. Now, what do you see?
Red.
It's a fabulous scene. It's a fabulous scene. That intensity. Can you talk about what it's like to direct a scene like that, David?
Well, the entire process was exhilarating, but indeed intense. With a two-character play in which both characters are on stage for the entire time, the momentum in the rehearsal room and the necessity to sort of maintain, sustain energy can be exhausting. The rehearsal process sort of vacillated back and forth between us just actually kicking back and talking about the philosophy and the art and the history that are embedded in the play, and then diving into these scenes. sense. But that's a long rehearsal day.
You know, it is so much a play about art, of course, but it's so much more than that, you know? How did you sort of avoid that trap of falling into it just sounding like a lecture about art?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, obviously, much of that is just John Logan's great playwriting.
Sure.
And I give the credit to him because the message is a deeply human one. It's a play about two human beings. It's not a play about paintings, per se. It's a play about relationships, and it's a play about trying to find a way in which you can communicate with other people, that need to be understood, to connect with other people, to express yourself and be in some kind of communion with other people is what's really at the heart of the play. And so whether you know a tremendous amount about art history or nothing at all, I think the play still resonates.
I think that's true. Tell us about Ken and about Rothko's relationship with him.
Ken is really kind of a fictional creation. Not to hit it too hard on the head, but he's a bit of a metaphor. Even though Rothko says early in the play, I am not your father, I am not your rabbi, I am not your shrink, I am not your friend, I am not your teacher. He becomes all those things for him, and he really becomes a son. In a sense. And, you know, there's also a line about the child must banish the father, respect him, but kill him. And I think that theme keeps coming through about the impending new wave of youthful people with new ideas coming in and destroying the past.
That scene we just heard a while ago, Thomas Durr, I want to ask you about another one. At another point in the play, Ken, Rothko's assistant, asks him,
"You ever paint outdoors?"
"You mean out in nature?"
"Yeah."
"Ah, nature doesn't work for me. The light's no good."
The light's no good.
So not even God or the sun can produce light that works for Mark Rothko. And yet, what you do so well, you portray this man who's fierce, he's uncompromising, but there's a real vulnerability about him as well, right?
I think he really, I mean, he does care deeply about the work, about the art, you know, and I think he idealizes his audience so much that I think he can't help but be disappointed. He anthropomorphizes these paintings. You know, he says at one point, you know, selling a painting is like sending a blind child into a room full of razor blades. It's going to get hurt, and it's never known hurt before. It doesn't know what hurt is. I mean, so he really, that's just an extraordinary statement to make, you know, about some paint on a canvas.
Did you end up liking him?
Yeah. You can't dislike any character you play.
Oh, is that right?
That's my feeling. I think everybody has a reason for everything they do.
Right.
You know, if you start judging them as an actor from the beginning, you're doomed, because everyone else will judge them negatively, and then they can just write them off, and they won't pay attention to what they're doing or saying.
Interesting. You've played various sort of robust male characters over the last few years, including R. Buckminster Fuller in the ART production. Mm-hmm. Do these two characters have something in common that attracts you?
They talked a lot.
Which, good for making plays.
Yeah. No, I think Bucky Fuller was kind of a giant hug of a man. You know, he really loved people. He loved engaging with people. He was passionate about children. He was, you know, they're both eccentrics, I suppose, and they both talk about, and they're both passionate about the things that they're passionate about. But one was more disappointed, which was Mark Rothko, and you couldn't please him. Whereas with Bucky Fuller, he was just, if something fails, we learned something about that, didn't we? Let's move on from that. And that's great, isn't it? So let's find out what happens next. You know, so he was very, you know, glass half full, and Rothko was glass practically empty.
David, this Tony Award-winning play by John Logan, when it first hit the stage in New York, it got rave reviews. How did you want to, I don't know, make it different, put your stamp on it? What was the challenge of staging it here in Boston?
I'm fortunate that I didn't see that production. I'm so glad that I have the opportunity to imagine this world fresh, without the preconceptions that come from another actor's Titanic performance.
So that's interesting to me that you didn't see it, and you see that as helpful to your job.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Interesting.
All the information that I needed is in John Logan's script. And it's gratifying. You know, there's an interview recently with the playwright, and he says how excited he is that different directors, different actors, and different designers have the opportunity to interpret his play, and that he's so excited to see the different kinds of choices that different people make. A play is not a set of instructions where if you follow them carefully, you've created the play. The script is a work of art in and of itself, and it's subject to interpretation. I think that as a collaborative, creative team, we've made some really interesting choices in bringing this play to life.
Well, it's a remarkable remarkable play, remarkable production. Thank you both for coming in. And once again, congratulations, David Gammons and Thomas Darragh. Thank you both.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
David Gammons is director of Red by John Logan. Thomas Darragh plays Mark Rothko in the play, which is now on stage at Boston's Speakeasy Stage Company and will run through February 4th. There's more information at radioboston.org.
Well, tomorrow on the show, how would you like to rent a beach for your yacht club at $400 a month?
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.